MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Grant Alexander, Director, Private Client Holdings. Grant, appreciate the early morning time. When we're investing through our lifetime, broadly two distinct phases we go through, a wealth creation and a wealth preservation. Obviously, we started the creation side of it. We need to, as investors, understand that distinction and what those nuances are. And with wealth creation stage, typically it's going to be very much growth focused and it's going to be high risk. We've got that time on our side. We can be a little more risky, which is, as a rule, going to be a lot more equities in our portfolio.
Sure. Good morning, Simon. Thanks for inviting me on your show. Yes, there is this distinction with the wealth creation and wealth preservation phases. From a wealth creation perspective, we generally start our journeys armed with enthusiasm and ambition, but sadly no investments. We apply this human capital to furthering our careers or businesses and start this savings process. I mean, that's the accumulation or this wealth creation phase. And then at some points, those investments exceed our human capital and we need to start drawing from our investments to supplement any earnings that we might still have. Perhaps we've consulted back to the company or the industry that we retired from. And then this typically would be that decumulation or wealth preservation phase. And they're just different risks to solve for. There's many risks, but mainly we look at inflation and volatility, and there are lots of tensions and trade-offs when we transition from one of these phases to the next.
I like that point of the tension and trade-offs, and I want to touch on that in a moment. But we're also going to be, I mean, during our creation, and I like your point, we start with nothing except that human capital, what sits between our ears. We work, we spend less than we earn, save the difference, and we do that for decades and decades. And it's a fairly, as I said up front, I mean, it's going to be a higher risk, it's going to be growth-focused, it's also going to be, I would imagine, more active and very diverse as we can take those risks. We can perhaps go to corners of the market which someone in their retirement wouldn't be able to nor comfortable going.
Yeah, certainly. That's in theory, I think, is correct. In practice, we would probably guide towards a more sensible approach from a just a purely asset allocation point of view, leaning more towards growth assets, property, and equities, and obviously making sure that there's sufficient offshore allocation, generous offshore allocation. And, there are nuances, and I think it depends on the size of the asset base, how far you reach out to private equity, venture capital, and really trying to knock it out the park.
And there's also, I mean, during that creation stage, we are going to be generating income. The key difference is that cash flow, in a sense, that we're generating, we're putting it back into the market. We're reinvesting it and sort of almost, in a sense, accelerating that compounding effect.
Definitely. That's an essential as to what's earning your income. And whatever is put into that nest egg needs to be reinvested, typically in high growth, aggressive assets, and much lower on the cash and fixed income side.
That transition from the creation to the preservation. I mean, in some senses, there might be a date, retirement, bang, that's it, you're now retired. Of course, as you mentioned, you might have some side hustles, you might consult back to the industry or even the company that you work for. The key point, perhaps, is that, you know, I remember when sort of my grandparents were retiring, you know, they were 65, life expectancy was maybe 10 years. Life expectancy is now 20 or 30. It's perhaps less of a line in the sand. It still is in some ways, but it's more transition, as you suggested, rather than an absolute pivot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Simon, you'll probably be surprised that there's 75% probability of at least one of a couple who are currently 60 making it to age 90. So basically, if you're looking at four couples, three of those couples will have someone standing at age 90, at least one. So this is definitely a long-term period. As you say, unlike, say, 20 years ago when, you worked for much of your life and only spent, say, 10 years in retirement and basically death sold for living too long. and running out of capital. Now, it really is long term, and you need to drive those investments to deliver over that long term.
One of the issues in the preservation stage, of course, you're drawing down, you're spending. You mentioned offshore. You've got to, when you're in that preservation and spending part of the equation, you've got to match currency, in essence, your liabilities. If you've got everything offshore and the rand strengthens, you're in a bit of trouble. It's matching sort of where your currency investment with where you're spending. If you're invested in dollars and spending in ZAR, you've got to run that balancing act as well.
Quite right. And obviously, depending on the asset base as well, what typically we would do is look at the present value of future liabilities, what that capital sum is, and invest it sensibly as if, and assuming one plans to live in South Africa for the rest of time. And any excess capital typically would go offshore. So different investors, the look through asset allocation would be slightly different depending on that asset base. But quite right, if you only have enough money to see out your days in South Africa, you need to be sensible about the strength in the rand, as we've seen recently.
Tax of being tax efficient, estate planning. I mean, I suppose this is not something which a 25-year-old in their first job is giving much thought to. But as we move through life, that becomes more and more important. And when we enter that retirement preservation phase, that becomes hugely important, particularly the estate planning. Point is, you can't do that on sort of, you know, day minus one. You've got to start working on that well in advance, particularly the estate planning, particularly the tax efficiencies.
Yeah, indeed. However, one must say that with the business owners, sometimes that planning in terms of generational transfer and estate planning happens too late. So really, for businesses that are growing, that needs to be solved for earlier rather than later. Because if you only sort of wake up to this issue when you're maxing the value in your business, the fees, the CGT, etc., will be quite onerous when transitioning possibly into a trust at that point in time. So planning needs to happen relatively early. But it sort of depends on the asset base.
I take your point, and we've had. I mean, this, you're not the first person to mention businesses and sort of the transitioning of that. That needs to be a well thought through and careful process. We'll leave it there. Grant Alexander, he's a director, Private Client Holdings. Appreciate the early morning, and that's our poll today. LinkedIn and Twitter, wealth creation, wealth preservation. What stage are you at? Are you still creating? Perhaps you're preserving. Have your vote. Have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.